Thank you for that song. It's good to see Elaine here today. She's first service back from surgery, so congratulations and welcome back. Let's welcome her. Romans chapter 8 is our passage again today, and we'll conclude this chapter. I'm looking forward to the rest of the book. So we're well over now, halfway through, as we're getting through chapter 8 here, and it's been exciting studying this book together. So thank you for being here this morning. Romans chapter 8, things are different now, and we have our song. I think we have it on the screen for you to sing along with me, because when you know Christ, it really changes everything. Your perspective, your perception, your priorities, all those things change. And so we're going to see some victory that is something that is now ours because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's try it together here. Things are different now. Something happened to me since I gave my heart to Jesus. Things are different now. I was changed, it must be, since I gave my heart to Him. Things I loved before have passed away. Things I love far more have come to stay. Things are different now. Something happened that day when I gave my heart to Him. You sing really good with that song. You must believe that. You must believe that truth. Things really are different. Look at our text, if you would. Chapter 8 is a chapter of Scripture that every believer should know about. Every believer should understand it. There's such a breadth and depth and great things in this chapter. It begins with no condemnation, and it ends with victory because we have no separation from our God. Look in our text, if you would, Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's talking about you and I. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today we have the Olympics going on in Brazil and Rio, and we get reports back, and sometimes you'll hear a report something like this: well, we pulled out a narrow victory. Maybe you're a sports fan and you like basketball or football or golf or something like that. You'll hear things like this: the basketball team escaped by a narrow win. And I understand Australia has a really good national team this year, and it was tough for our team to beat them. Maybe you'll hear the ball club pull through in the last few moments. The golfer defended his title with one stroke. It was in playoff too, but he defended his title. It was really, really close. Well, the heavyweight, he won by decision. It was not a knockout, but he won by decision. The ice skater moved to the next round with a half of a precision point. Or I like this one. Our house likes this. The American Ninja Warrior, he goes to the next round, not because he was so much better than everyone, but he was the only one who completed the course. These people are winning by just barely making it. But the Bible says that we are more than conquerors. Friends, today we need to understand that you are more than even just a winner. You are more than a winner to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're so much more. We are everything to Jesus. That's why he gave his life on the cross for us. One person commentating on these verses succinctly put it by saying, we gain a surpassing victory through the one who loved us. I understand that in sign language, that the sign for hope is like putting your fingers crossed like this and kind of shaking your hands and putting your hands up like this, hope. And we understand that, I hope so in some context of life we'll say that, but it's more like luck. I hope it'll all work out. I'm basing this on luck. But really for the Christian, if we were into sign language, then our sign would be rather the sign for expectation, which is hands up like this and motioning towards self, expectation. The word in the Bible for hope means a confident expectation. And the Bible says that we're not just on the team, we're not just hoping to get by through life, and we're not just going to win. We are more than conquerors, and we need to have a hopeful expectation, and that hopeful expectation changes our thoughts, our mind, the direction of our life, the priorities in our life, a hopeful expectation. I'm just trusting God, and God is the one who has given the victory. That's a tremendous truth. We are more than winners in Jesus. And that's an important phrase, being in Jesus. If you are saved, you are in Jesus. You're part of the body of Christ. You're part of the bride of Christ. Your name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're on your way to heaven because you are in Christ Jesus. You're not in religion. You're not in works. You are in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happens when a person places their faith and dependence upon Christ and Christ alone for their salvation. Folks, we are more than winners in Jesus. We are more than Justin Gatlin and Tyson Gay to the United States men's sprinting team. We are more than LeBron James to Cleveland. We are more than Tom Brady to New England. We are more than Dale Earnhardt Jr. to Hendrix Motorsports. We are more than Michael Phelps to the United States swimming team. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The gold is in the bank. The trophy is on the wall. And you are the treasure. You're the treasure. And let's understand this truth here today that we are more than conquerors. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, we thank you for this passage. And as we examine it, we pray that you would examine our hearts. Teach us your word today. Let your Holy Spirit have free course to move and challenge and even change our lives today. Give us comprehension and understanding, and Lord, may we hear your word and be helped by it here today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we have this victory. We are more than winners in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the first victory. Number one, victory over accusation. There's victory over accusation. Verses 31 through 34 reveal this truth to us that what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Does not this imply that there's somebody against us? Who is going to be against us? Well, somebody must be. Who is against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I wrote beside that verse, benefactor, we have a benefactor. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? So there's someone accusing us and accusing you. It is God that justifieth. I'm glad, and I wrote this down right beside that verse 33, we have a justifier. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Folks, we have an advocator. We have an advocate. I wrote that down beside verse 34. And so notice these truths here today. First of all, this victory over accusation, without salvation, we are already condemned. We're already condemned. Without Jesus, we're already condemned. Jesus said it this way in John 3, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Notice the condemnation isn't because a person is not religious or moral or a good person. The condemnation is because a person does not have Jesus Christ. If you're in Christ, you are no longer condemned. Folks, without Jesus, we are being condemned on a daily basis, and there is an accuser who is condemning you and is throwing accusation at you. Listen to this, Revelation 12, verse 10. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." So a person without Christ, they are already condemned. And even today, we are being actively condemned by Satan. He's hurling accusations at you because of your life and because of what you're doing for the Lord. In Job chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, here's a good example of how Satan is accusing you and throwing condemnation at your way. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it.'" So Satan in Job's day was walking around looking for people who said they loved God in order to condemn them, to accuse them, to try to trip them up, to make them curse God and to go against the Lord. That's what he was doing to Job. Doesn't Satan do the same thing towards us? According to Revelation, that's what he's doing. He's throwing accusations our way and accusing us before God, perhaps even before other people. But friends, we have a response to that. We have a benefactor in verse 31 and 32. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one who's given to us. God gives to us, and God gave to us the greatest gift when he gave his Son. Notice that phrase, "with him," that being Jesus, "also freely give us." He gives us life. He gives us being. He gives us opportunity. He gave his life for us. Folks, we do not work for self-value. Religious ritual does not add weight to the meaning of our life. But the fact is, what Jesus did shows value towards us. He loves us so much that he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And that's where we find our value, is in the value that God places on us. God loves us. There was a story told about a believer named Frederick Nolan, and he was fleeing his enemies during time of persecution in North Africa. He was being pursued by them over a hill and a valley. There was no place to hide, and he was exhausted. He looked to the side, and there was a cave in a hillside, and he went and fell into the cave. He hid himself in the cave, expecting, however, his enemies to find him soon. He was awaiting his death. He was there in the corner of that cave, and he saw a spider go to the face of this cave, the entrance to this cave, and he watched the spider start to weave a web. And within minutes, this little bug had woven a beautiful web across the mouth of the cave. The pursuers arrived in that location, and they were looking around that hillside, and they walked right in front of the web, and they looked at that web, and they thought, nobody's in there because there's a spider's web right there. And they kept going. God provided a way. He provided an escape through this little spider. Here's what this man said. He exclaimed, "Where God is, a spider's web is like a wall. Where God is not, a wall is like a spider's web." Those men could have went right in there. But you know who was on his side? It was the Lord. You know who was taking care of this man? It was God, and he gave thanks to his God for sparing his life on that day. We have a benefactor, and sometimes we'll look at something and we won't even know, but God puts it there for a purpose, for a reason. Maybe we don't even understand at the time. We have a benefactor. We have a justifier. So here comes the accusations. The accusations are coming against you. And what about our justification then? One person said that God does not justify us because we are worthy, but by justifying us makes us worthy. Again, the doctrine of justification is the foundation that supports all other benefits that we receive in Christ. And notice in our text here, if you would, who is he that condemneth in verse 34? Who in verse 33 shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Remember Satan throwing those accusations? He's saying things about you to God, to other people. Folks, we have a justifier. When evil men mock you, we have a justifier. When people say, well, he's not good enough for heaven. Did you know that when somebody says that about you as a Christian, well, you know, you're just not good enough, or I don't think you measure up to what I think. They have expectations they try to impose on you, you know, for what they believe you should or should not do. The fact is, they're right. We don't deserve heaven anyway. We kind of bristle with that sometimes. We don't. Well, he's not worth it. I'm not worth it. You're not worth it. But listen, you are worth it to God. You are worth it to Jesus. Now, when Satan accuses you, we have a justifier. When others say guilty or unworthy, yes, we are guilty and we are unworthy, but we've been justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a justifier. When you get down and out, when you start to get depressed, when you get discouraged, lift up your eyes, change your thinking, start to think about, I have been justified, and it wasn't by my works or my righteousness or my goodness. It was nothing to do with that. It was everything to do with the justifier, Jesus. When you are distressed over your own sin, you're broken by your own sin, you confess that sin to God. And you say, Lord, thank you that I am declared justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can justify ourselves. We can try to rationalize our sin all the way. But folks, we need to confess sin and then embrace the justifier, Jesus. The word justification means just as if I never sinned. It also has an even greater meaning on the other side of that. It's just as if I'm Jesus himself. When God looks at you, he sees someone who is just as if he's perfect, he's never sinned, but he sees something even greater than that. He sees just as if I'm God's son himself, Jesus. What a great trade we receive when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. So we're justified by the Lord. We have a benefactor, we have a justifier, a justification in Christ. There's a video circulating that Natalie was telling me about on internet or Facebook or something, and it's a bear cub, and it's a bear cub and a full-grown mountain lion, and they're about to fight. They start to scrap a little bit, and they're starting to flash their paws at each other, and they're snarling at each other and posturing, ready to pounce, and the mountain lion takes a swipe at this cub bear, this small bear, and his face is wounded. The cub's face is wounded. He's bleeding a little bit. And he's wanting to do everything he can to protect himself from this full-grown mountain lion that's there. And so he starts to roar, but he's kind of a baby bear. So he's trying to go roar like this. And he's, this is real like a baby crying or something. And then this mountain lion is still posturing, roaring back at him. And it's about to pounce. And so the cub, he raises up. He stands on his back legs, and he gives that roar again like that. But this time, the mountain lion starts to cower. It starts to kind of retreat a little bit. And then he roars again, that little baby roar. And this cub thinks he's big stuff because the mountain lion leaves. All that time, then the camera angle is panning back, and the mama bear was right there. And the reason the lion was leaving was because of the mama bear in the background. But folks, we can try to justify, and we can try to give our best effort like that little cub did, but it was really the mama bear who did all the work. You can try to justify all that you want to, but it's all the work that Jesus did on the cross. That's where we find our justification. Oh, we can rationalize our sin. We can give excuses for this, that, or whatever. But it's all because of Jesus Christ that we are justified before God the Father. We also have an advocator or an advocate. In verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You got to love that verse, also Hebrews 7:25, where the Bible teaches that Jesus is praying for you. And he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. So here's the Father, and here's the Son, and here's your prayer requests, and here's your needs, and he's taking those straight to God the Father. He's praying to God on your behalf. We have an advocate with the Father. Listen to 1 John 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified of in due time. In Hebrews 7, 25, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And listen to Hebrews. You may want to write this one down. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 down to verse 28. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, like a building like we're in, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Here's what Jesus did. He took all of our sin, paid the price for our sin on the cross. He died on the cross in our place. He rose again 3 days later. He ascended into heaven. And then he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And he's praying for you. And he's an advocate for you. And when accusations come your way, they don't stick because you have a justifier. You have an advocate. He's a lawyer on your behalf to make sure that the sin account is all changed to show and to reflect the love of God, which is found through Christ Jesus our Lord. God's grace, God's mercy, the fact that you are justified before a holy and righteous God. Now, sometimes we tend to just kind of skate by in the Christian life. Have you ever noticed that? We don't really embrace this teaching that I'm teaching you today. We don't really live in victory over sin. We don't really live in victory over right thinking that we should have on a daily basis. Those who seem to live the Christian life as if they're barely making it many times tend to blame others for their personal failures. And they're not looking to the Lord for the help that they need. They'll just blame other people. Many times, those do not spend much time in Bible reading or time with God in prayer. Many times, those who act like they're not living in victory, we're more than conquerors. Remember that we're more than conquerors. But those who are just barely getting by sometimes act all depressed and sad when things do not go their way. Some even pout. Folks, we don't need a pacifier when we have a justifier. We just need to live in victory. We just need to live in victory. And think about it like that. We make excuses instead of owning up to our wrong. We try to advocate for ourselves. We'll lawyer up with other people around us, but Christ has already won the case for your soul. He's already won the victory over your sin. Many times those just barely getting by look for the easy route to justify their preferences instead of growing up. Most are ashamed of the gospel, cannot hand out tracts or tell people, invite them to church, cannot witness because they're just weak in these things. But folks, we don't have to just live by getting by. We are more than conquerors. We have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over accusation. You want to witness to someone, you want to be a testimony, you want to read the Bible, you want to pray. We should be doing all of these things, but keep in mind these three truths here from Romans about the benefactor, the justifier, and the advocator that we have. Now, number two, we have victory over trouble. We have victory over accusation. We'll all be accused at some point, but there's also trouble. We all have trouble. Dr. P.P. Bliss, Philip Bliss, the evangelistic singer and composer, said that he wrote the sacred song, Oh, How I Love Jesus, when he was just a young man. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, it was expressing his love toward Jesus Christ. And he grew older, however, and he realized more deeply how insignificant our love is towards God compared to God's love towards us. And so later on, he wrote the words, I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest thing that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Victory over trouble. Now, he loves us in spite of what we face. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That word love, selfless, sacrificial love of Jesus. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Jesus loved us to death. He loved us to the point of death. He died for us. He loved us in his death. Now, sin is a separator. Sin separates us. Adam and Eve were separated from God because of their sin, and they were separated from him and removed from the Garden of Eden. Sin can cause separation of a husband and a wife in marriage. Sin can cause separation of rebellious children or mean-spirited parents. Sin puts a great gulf between us and God. Really, it hurts every relationship that sin is found, and all of us are human, so there's some amount of sin in our relationships, and it separates, and it hurts. Now, the consequences of sin, the wages of sin, is death. Death is also a separator. Sin separates us. Death also separates us. Death separates the body from the soul. Death separates us from life. Death takes away our loved ones. But think about this. Death, in one way, is a good thing in a Christian life. It separates us from our sinful bodies because death, then, can reconnect us to God. For the Christian, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so death and sin are separators. Jesus died so that sin and so that death would no longer separate us from God. He did that for us. He loved us in his death. He loves us in his life. Jesus rose again. He resurrected. He walked on the earth and he ascended into heaven. And notice these verses and all these things that are described that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tribulation, can that separate us from God? If death is a separator, if sin is a separator, if we know there are things that are trying to separate us from God, from the love of God, or acknowledging God in our lives, nothing, however, can separate us from the love which is found in Christ Jesus. Tribulation? We'll face tribulation. Persecution? Difficulties? We're going to face some stuff like that if you haven't already. Tribulation? Jesus still loves you. If you're under stress or distress, if there's distresses in your life, Jesus still loves you. If there's persecution in your life right now or famine in your life right now, Jesus still loves you. Nakedness or I don't have enough clothing or peril or sword, it's violence. Folks, Jesus still loves you if you're facing these things, if they're found in your life today or at some point in your life. This is a list of things that we will face in our lifetimes, and no matter what circumstances arise, Jesus still loves you. Nothing will separate you from that. Folks, be encouraged with this. Sometimes we'll get to a point where we say, I cannot endure this pain. And there's some that are suffering today with a lot of physical pain. I don't know if I can handle it anymore. There's some with relational pain and just anguish in your soul, and I don't know if I can take this. This is difficult. Emotional pain in your mind, and there's just difficulties that we face. Be encouraged that God still loves you no matter what you're facing. No matter what it is that's a pain in your life, he's still right there. Where is God in all this trouble? He's right here. He's right here. He's with you. Believer, he's in your heart. He knows what's going on. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ Jesus. Oh, this is impossible. It may be impossible to us, but it's not impossible to God. Maybe you say, well, I've had a hard past. Maybe I'm divorced, or maybe I'm single, or maybe my marriage is tough. Those things, I understand. But understand this, Jesus still loves you. He still loves you. Finances are troubling. The job is terrible. Jesus still loves you. How can God love me? You can look at me and ask that. How can God love you? And I'll just say this. I don't know. I don't know. How does God love you? I'll look at you and say the same thing. I don't know. But he does. We don't deserve it. We're unworthy of it. for God to love us, to show mercy to, and grace and compassion and long-sufferingness, all of these things, how does that happen? Well, why is there suffering? It's because of sin. Sin is the cause of all of our problems. Original sin messed this earth up, but Jesus loves you in spite of where you live or what your name is or how much money you have or how healthy you are or unhealthy you are. No matter what is going on in your life, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. This love is incredible, folks. God's love is men-catching, sin-smashing, soul-saving, and eternity-changing. That is God's love for us, and he loves us in eternity. One person summarized it well by saying it this way: it matters to him about you. It matters to him about you. God loves you that much. Number three, then, there's victory over everything. Victory over accusation, we'll all face it. Victory over trouble, we all have trouble. Every one of us. Don't think your circumstance is different. Maybe the events are different, names are different, faces change, but we all face troubles. And victory over everything. Verse 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's the Apostle Paul. He'd been shipwrecked, bitten by snakes, been beaten, persecuted, you name it. He had all these different things happen to him. And as he looked at the distress and persecution and tribulation and troubles and everything, as could be encapsulated in verse 38 and 39, he could say this at the end of it all: I still know that Jesus loves me. I still know that I'm in the love of God. There's nothing that can separate me from that. Folks, everything is under the hand of God. Nothing is outside of God's control. While he allows evil to do its thing, evil is not more powerful than God. Whether it's something that's good, bad, or indifferent from our perspective, nothing can stop God's love for us. How is it that God can take the bad things that happen to us and somehow make good happen out of it? Look, if you would, in verse 38, or I'm sorry, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How does that happen? It's like one boy who was given a box of a puzzle, and the box was blank, and inside was the pieces to a map of the United States of America, and it was about 50 pieces or so, but the boy had never seen a map of the United States, and the outside of that box was blank, and he kept looking at this, and he was frustrated. He couldn't put the pieces together. He couldn't get the image to come out right. Just, it didn't make any sense to the young boy. And his dad said, would you like me to help? And he said, yes, I would love for you to help. And within minutes, the father had put the pieces on the corner. He started to put the pieces all together. And the son started to look at this and say, how did you know where they went? And the father said, well, you couldn't see the bigger picture because the bigger picture was not on the box. But he said, I've seen the United States of America. I've seen the big picture. And that's what it is in our lives. Sometimes we don't understand. We don't see the big picture. But folks, God sees the big picture. And you're in a valley right now, or you're going through some health trouble right now, or there's a relational need or something. You just don't understand. Why is this happening to me? God sees a bigger picture. And through all of those things, he still is loving you. And thank God for this love. He knows exactly where the pieces of our lives will work together, and he sees the whole picture, and he puts it together so that he's glorified and so that we'll love him all the more, so that we'll become more like him, as we've learned in this chapter of the book of Romans. I'd like to direct your attention then to two more thoughts with this. First of all, the nothings. The nothings are listed in verse 38 and 39. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, these are nothings compared to this love of God. Death cannot separate you. Life itself cannot separate you. Angels or demons, this is principalities, cannot separate you. Powers, whether it's local, state, national, global governments, cannot separate you. Current events cannot separate you. That's the phrase, things present. The pains of our body, the bank accounts that we're trying to grow, the financial debt we're climbing out of, the job, the school, the neighbors, the mean relatives, the national political scene, the talking heads on TV and radio, all the present stuff. That cannot separate you and love of God. Future events, notice that phrase, things to come, cannot separate you. There's uncertainty about tomorrow, but there's no uncertainty when it comes to God. We don't know what a day will bring forth, but God knows everything that a day will bring forth, and we can just trust Him in it, and we can rely on Him in it, and we can take this promise home that we know that no matter what tomorrow brings, God still loves us. He still loves you. It doesn't matter what happened with the relationship. It doesn't matter what happened to the bank account. It doesn't matter what happened with those things. God still loves you. There's nothing to deny that. Whether it's something that's tall, it's taller than us, it's deep, it's deeper than us, it has height or depth, that cannot separate us. Oh, sometimes we'll worry, though. We'll worry about future events. We'll become preoccupied in our minds about worry, a concern for disaster. Jesus responded to this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. When you study that verse, you just think about it. Today is hard enough to be worrying about tomorrow, and God will take care of it anyway. And so He's going to keep loving us through it all. Don't let worry preoccupy your mind. Any other of God's creation or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Sometimes we get caught up with these nothings. These are nothing compared to the love that God has for you. Don't be preoccupied with the nothings. Now, we're not to love things, we're to love people. We need to use stuff to love people, but a lot of times we'll get preoccupied on the nothings. But nothing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. So then what does that make us? If all these other things are nothings, what does that make us? To the love of God, we're everything. We're everything. God loves you more than everything else. Think about this. The everything's you. It's you. It's you. The everything is you. It's me and you today. We are the everythings to God. These other things are nothing compared to this love of God. That means we're everything. You mean so much to God. He loves you so much more than everything else that He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. Everything else is just a side issue. Your love, the love rather that God has for you. Remind yourself daily that God loves me. Remind yourself that God loves me on a daily basis. He loves me more than my circumstances. He loves me more than my health. He loves me more than the problems that I'm facing. Folks, Jesus loves you more than life itself. That's why He gave His life. He loves you that much. When you feel unloved, you think about the sacrificial, selfless love that is yours forever from God Himself. This love of God keeps giving to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. When you feel unloved or unwelcomed or unappreciated, stop looking around like that, stop thinking like that, and recall the unstoppable, unquenchable, unsearchable love of God. That's the love that He has for us. That is the love that He has for you. Have you found some hope today? Hope isn't like this. Oh, I hope so, like as in good luck. I have a confident expectation that no matter what happens, God's love is still coming my way. God's love is still evident. Sometimes I may get down and out. I may feel like I don't know where God is or I don't know why this is happening. Stop thinking like that and say, I know God still loves me. God still loves me no matter what I'm facing. He still loves me. I have a confident expectation of His love. Our attitude, our approach, our perspective all change because things are different now that I've been saved. Things are different now because I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you fighting with someone today? Get over it. Get over it. It's not worth it. Are you depressed today? Set your values and see your value in Jesus. Are you angry about something today? Confess it and forsake the anger and then grow up past the anger. Are you enslaved to worry? Are you one to bite your nails all the time? I'm just worried all the time. Then give that to God and know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you just hanging on and barely getting by? Are you just hanging on? We're more than conquerors It just seems like I'm just barely getting by. If that's you, start to thrive today. Bask in the love of God. Let the glow of Jesus put a smile on your face. Let him change you today. Be changed from the inside out. We are more than winners in Jesus. We are everything to Jesus. Victory over accusation, victory over trouble, and yes, victory over everything. Let's bow together for prayer. Thank you for your good listening today. We're more than winners in Christ Jesus. Maybe you'd say, Pastor Harness, you spoke about salvation a moment ago. You said that a person would be saved by confessing their sin to Jesus and asking forgiveness of their sin, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection. I would like to know more about salvation like that today. I would like to be saved, to know my sins are forgiven. I've never prayed to receive Christ as my Savior, but I want to know more, or I want to do that today. Anyone like that, just raise your hand. I want to know that I can go to heaven because of Jesus. Anyone like that, just raise your hand quickly. Anyone at all? I'm just glancing across the room. All right, then, believer, this is for you. Here's a question for you. Are you embracing the Christian life for what it is worth today? Are you discovering victory in Jesus, or are you just getting by? You know, there are some people here today, you have choices to make. There's things that God wants you to do. Are you confessing, controlling sins, and finding victory? Are you willing to give others the gospel and actively doing so? There are some who need to take steps of faith. They've trusted Christ. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to participate in serving the Lord with us. Make decisions like that here in these moments to do what God would have you to do, to become more the Christian that God would have you to become today, to live in the victory, this love, knowing it no matter what you face, He loves you. That gives us an approach and a perspective of, I'm more than a winner in Christ Jesus. However God is working in your life, we want you to respond, and we invite you to. Father, we pray you'll bless this invitation. Use it for your glory as we seek you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand as the canto plays? Are you embracing the Christian life? Is there sin that needs confessed? Are you just barely getting by? Maybe this love has been a great reminder. You want to stop and say, Lord, thank you for this great love. Maybe you're going through distress or persecution or health need, something that's just bigger than you. It's one of those heights or depths. Why not commit it to the Lord? Maybe worry about the future or even concern about my past has been hurting your relationship with God. Don't let anything stop you from knowing the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for the amazing truths in Romans chapter 8. We thank you that you're our benefactor and justifier and advocate. We thank you for this eternal love that can never be separated from you. We cannot be separated from you. And Lord, we thank you for this. Help us to take these truths and find the value, the purpose, and the direction in life that you'd have for us each day. Bless each one with the decisions on their hearts and minds here today. And we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much for being here today. We have missionary Matt Shields that will be bringing a message and update tonight. Two things real quick before we have our announcements. We have a magazine for you. Our ushers will have that on your way out. And we have a nice little personal invitation for you to hand out personally to a friend, a coworker, or a loved one, and it's an invitation to our revival meeting. And so please take some of these and begin to invite people to that. Just a few short weeks away. Thank you so much.